Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Best ever when it comes to breaking down games and trying to figure it out and making sure that we can all kind of understand what's really going on. His name is Greg Cosell from NFL Films, NFL Matchup with Sal Pal and Matt Bowen on ESPN. And right now he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Greg, thanks a million for joining us today. Really appreciate your time.
Oh, no problem, guys. Great to be with you.
All right, Greg, so you've had a chance, and I just, even on Twitter, I just saw that you broke down this week's game between the Chiefs and the Browns. Just give me some of the big things that stick out, especially if you're a Browns fan watching this game, and how you'll know they'll have success. What do the Browns need to do to try to
have success? How do I know they'll have success?
Yeah.
Come on, we all know you're a soothsayer.
That's the kind of stuff I don't know.
Bummer.
Well, we'll start with this. We'll start with the premise, which I have always believed is a total myth, that the goal of an offense should be to keep the opposing quarterback on the sideline. Because you have to think of it this way. In an average NFL game, the opposing team gets 12 possessions. So let's say you, quote-unquote, keep them on the sideline, and they get 10 possessions. What happens if they score 4 or 5 touchdowns? Which the Chiefs are very capable of doing. So the goal, to me, is not to keep them on the sideline. The goal is to score touchdowns. So the goal becomes, how is the best way for you to score touchdowns? Now, we know what the Browns are offensively. There's no mystery to what the Browns are. They start with the run. The pass game works off the run. Now, history tells us that the run game does not produce as many explosive plays as the pass game. So you have to decide what is the best way to produce the kinds of plays that will score touchdowns. That's what they have to decide. Because just holding the ball is not going to win the game. Scoring touchdowns might win the game.
So what you're basically saying, Greg, is, you know, lean into the track meet.
In your way. In other words, you're not going to just ask Baker Mayfield to drop back in a drop-back passing game, which is not what they normally do, 50 times. You're not going to ask him to do that by choice. But within the context of your offense, be a little more aggressive. That's basically the way I would approach it, because you're going to need to score. And you generally score more when you throw the football. So within the context of what you do, be a little more aggressive.
Greg, as you take a look at the Browns' offensive line, they get Joel Bitonio back this week. That was just announced.
Is that definite? Is he now back?
Yep. Yeah, that came
back.
Oh, good.
Okay. Because that would have been a problem.
Yeah, what does that mean for the Browns? Like, last week, you know, we saw what they were able to do against Pittsburgh, but I would much rather have Joel Bitonio on the field. Explain to me what that means to have Joel on the field.
Well, they're facing Chris Jones, really, really good player, and I think that would have been a difficult matchup, because if Bitonio could not come back, because Dunn got hurt last week, didn't he?
Yep. Correct. Mm-hmm.
So it would have been Hance if it couldn't have been Bitonio, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
You're 100% right.
Right. So.
Hello, my name is Blake, yes.
Yes. So getting Bitonio back is absolutely critical, because he's a really good player, and this is a really good D-line. And by the way, Steve Spagnuolo is going to bring pressure. They bring a lot of pressure. He attacks a lot, because his attitude is this. His attitude is, I have an offense and a quarterback that's likely to put up 30-plus, so if I bring pressure and the other team happens to hit a big play here and there, so what? They're going to have to do that an awful lot, because we're going to score 30. So getting Bitonio back is absolutely critical, because he's a good player, and he will help them be able to run their offense, which would have been a little difficult if Hance was at left guard.
What's the best way to maximize Baker Mayfield in this game going up against that secondary that's been playing pretty well, along with Tyrann Mathieu, who's unbelievable in his own right?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I don't think you step outside of what you do schematically and tactically. You just have to be a little more aggressive within that structure. They're a play-action team. They're a play-action boot team. I think you've got to stay with that. I think that you've got to try to create opportunities for Mayfield in that system. You know, what you get a lot with the Chiefs is they play a lot of man coverage. They play some cover two. You're going to kind of know what you're going to get. Most teams at this point know what the opponent's going to get because they bring in all their scouts and everybody, and they do a ton of film work, more so than they do during the regular season. So these games don't come down to surprises. They come down to execution. They come down to anticipating tendencies and probability. That's what football is. It's probability and tendency. So you attack probability and tendency, and you have to make enough big plays here in the pass game that you can score points. Because, you know, barring anything unforeseen, this is not likely to be a 17-13 kind of game.
Greg Cosell of NFL Films and the NFL Matchup Show with Sal Palantonio and Matt Bowen joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What do you make of Baker Mayfield's performance in the second half of the season? Have you seen him turn a corner?
You know, that's hard to know, but I think he played well, and I think this offense fits him really, really well. So, you know, I think that the key with Baker to me is his ball placement. When he throws the ball with precise ball placement, he's very, very good because there's a quickness to him, there's a rhythm to him, there's a twitch to him. The ball comes out. So when he's accurate and precise with his ball placement, he's very good. So hopefully he'll stay that way. I think this style of offense fits him extremely well. I think this style of offense defines a lot of the reads, defines a lot of the throws, and I think that makes it easier, relatively speaking, for him to execute.
Greg, I'm curious on this one, and it's weird that there aren't fans in the stands this year, right? So that takes away some of the home field advantage, I guess, as far as, you know, excitement goes, or maybe the ability to inspire a player. But home, if there's ever been a year to be on the road, it's this year with home field advantage not
right.
being an advantage with teams under 500. How does that play into a game like this? How does that play into a playoff game where this might be the best time to be like, hey, if you got to go on the road, this is the year to do it?
Yeah, that's a hard question for me to answer. I mean, obviously in any stadium, home stadium, you're not going to have the noise. You're not going to have a number of factors that might impact the way you play tactically. I mean, obviously when you're on the road, and Arrowhead is well known, I've been there for games in my career, it's a very, very loud stadium. And then you start getting into things that affect you tactically, like silent counts, you know, things that you may not be able to do if you're the opponent, and now you may be able to do them, and that impacts how you go about game planning and playing the game. So it definitely is a factor.
Greg, when you're going through films, I mean, you can, how much do you notice that you can, I mean, you can pluck off the game call left and right probably better than you have before. I thought it was weird. Kevin Stefanski said last week, this is the first year he didn't have to put in a silent count.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You won't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
So it allows you to do more. Because it allows you to do more at the line of scrimmage if you choose to. You know, those things factor into a game tactically. It's not, you know, people think about fans, oh, the emotion for the offense. Well, there's tactical ramifications to that as well. You just mentioned about Stefanski and the silent count. But now Baker Mayfield can theoretically do more at the line of scrimmage if they choose to. But the option is there, where it might not be there with, you know, 65 or 70,000 screaming fans.
All right, I'm giving you the hardest question in football right now. How do
you
slow down Patrick?
You're not going to win the game. Don't ask me that.
No. Oh, gosh. No,
we're not going.
No. We already tried. You're soothsaying it. You didn't have it for us the first time. Don't.
No. It's funny. I'm a terrible prognosticator because I can give you, you know, 5-7 reasons and variables for either side. So I'm, you know, people think I can pick these games. I'm terrible at that.
All right, the hardest question in football that every defensive coordinator is trying to figure out: how in the world do you slow down this Chiefs offense?
It is a hard question because, look, they're a team that can stretch the field horizontally. They can stretch the field vertically. They've got a quarterback that has second reaction ability. But by the way, over the last 2-3 games of the season, obviously not the last week he didn't play, but the last 2-3 games prior to that, Mahomes has gotten a little undisciplined and loose. You know, he's incredibly talented. But he's got a little undisciplined and loose, and it'll be interesting to see with a week, the bye week where Andy Reid's been phenomenal in his career, if they, I don't want to say rein him in because they're not going to say don't move, but just sort of get back to working on some things because he's been a little inconsistent because he's moved when he hasn't had to move. So we'll see, but it's a very difficult offense to defend because of the vertical ability. And that's an area, not to burst you guys' bubble, but that's an area where the Browns struggle because they really do not have a true post safety with speed and range.
It's funny to say that he, we talk about him playing maybe, a little bit loose or playing, a little bit on his own, but yet he doesn't throw interceptions.
No, and that's the big thing. Factor. Yeah. When you don't turn it over, that's the critical piece. A lot of the quarterbacks that move around in our game today, whether it's the Russell Wilsons, the Mahomes, they don't turn the ball over, and that's the critical part. You always used to think of quarterbacks back in the day, and I go back a long time. But before there was indoor plumbing, so back in the day, we used to talk quarterbacks that moved around a lot and sort of got random in their play would throw a lot of interceptions. That's what's happening with these players now. They don't throw picks.
Do we buy into any bit of Joe Woods being on that staff that was a part of the 49ers that kind of slowed the Chiefs down a little bit for about 3.5 quarters? Is there anything there that the Browns could replicate?
I mean, obviously, look, as I said before, these games are not game plan and they're not won or lost based on trickery for the most part. Yet, can a team throw a play in that maybe you don't expect? Sure. But at the end of the day, you're not reinventing the wheel as a coaching staff when you get to the playoffs. You're trying to maximize what you do well, what you feel you have to do well based on your opponent, and that's what you do. So everybody knows what Andy Reid's offense is. Andy Reid's been coaching a long time. So the question is, how do you go about, in given situations, stopping it? And that's, if you have more experience playing against it than another coach, maybe you just have a better feel for it, but it's still really, really difficult to stop because of the level of talent. I mean, the last thing defensive coordinators want to have happen is getting beat by 60-yard touchdowns, and the Chiefs can do that.
One other just quick question for me. How did Wyatt Teller become Wyatt Teller this year?
Watched him in Buffalo, and I actually watched him coming out of college, and I kind of liked the player. I didn't know that he'd become this, but when Buffalo – was it a trade or did they let him go? I can't remember. It was a trade? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, because in Buffalo, I thought he had some moments where I thought, oh, this guy could be a solid starting guard, but obviously they didn't see it that way. And then this year, he's become as good a pulling guard as there is in the league. Because we always think of the Kevin Stefanski run game as being zone-based, and obviously they do run a lot of zone. But Teller's ability to pull has really added a significant gap scheme element to their run game, and they pull him, and he may be, and I haven't studied every guard, obviously, but he may be as good a pulling guard as there is in the league. I mean, this week he had an unbelievable block. I believe it was on a Kareem Hunt run, but he's had blocks like that all season long.
Imagine if he was still with the Bills. I mean, as good as they are, if he's still there, you're just like, what? I just think it's fascinating to me how sometimes, like Austin Ryder, Austin Ryder was here, and now, he could barely get into the lineup here, and now you look at him in Kansas City, and, man, they need him every game. I mean,
let me ask you this, just because, I get so lost. I try to follow it, but I don't with the COVID and all, is Donovan Peoples-Jones, he's available, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to be, highly targeted, 12 times or anything, but to me, he could be an interesting player because they're going to have to try to create some explosive plays. Now, I think back to the Titans game when he caught the 75-yard touchdown. Now, he was going against a corner named Breon Borders, who's, was a backup to a backup, basically, in Tennessee. But, I think they're going to have to try to create some kind of explosive pass plays, and he can run. So we'll see, maybe, because they really don't have another guy that can run, that can really get on top of the defense.
Greg, always awesome talking to you, and I always walk away from our interviews a lot smarter. So thank you, Greg. Appreciate it. And, of course, you know we're watching NFL matchup with Sal Powell and Matt Bowen on ESPN. Thank you, Greg.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, man.
This
is awesome.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.